Hey, it's Eric G. Around the House is sponsored by Baldwin Hardware. For 75 years, Baldwin Hardware has been known for its first-class quality and craftsmanship in door and cabinetry hardware. As an alumnus of the Baldwin Hardware Design Council, I can say I have seen the details and quality from design to the finished product. If you're looking for a new style and old-world craftsmanship, I can tell you there is only one Baldwin Hardware. Check out what would look great in your home at baldwinhardware.com.
Everybody stop what you're doing, please!
When it comes to remodeling and renovating your home, there is no better show on your radio. This is Around the House with Eric G.
Where's the hammer?
From your back fence to the sidewalk, Eric will tell you how to keep it all in tip-top shape while helping you save a buck while doing it. If you like DIY projects, it takes a lot of practice to get good at it, and Eric is here to guide the way.
Is it on the... Go up on the other floor. Somebody go up there and stop the hammering.
All that and more on the fastest 2 hours of home improvement radio.
These are the wrong plans. These are the old plans.
Oh. Welcome to...
Stop it! Stop
Around the House with Eric G.
Welcome to Around the House with Eric G. This is where we talk home improvement every single weekend. Thanks for joining us. This is our Memorial Day special here. Yeah, there we go. Oh, wait a minute. There we go. That's the one. Well, I've got Jeff Tracy here in the house, the cowboy cook, my friend, my buddy.
Yay!
Thanks for coming on, brother.
Good. I like your new digs, man.
Thanks, man. It's coming along. It's a work in progress.
I like it. I like all the Milwaukee products and stuff stacked.
Yeah, in. I got a little Greenworks over here.
Yeah, I got some. Yeah.
There's a yellow DeWalt up there. Yeah. You know, I got a few little things out there.
It's a color coordinated studio.
There we go. There we go. Well, thanks, brother. Well, I wanted to bring you on because it is like one of the
It's the biggest.
It is the biggest.
Memorial Day is the biggest barbecue weekend of the year.
Gotcha. Okay. So if you haven't heard of Jeff before, he is on the Sun Broadcast Group with us here at Around the House. Yay. So if you're in a station where, you know, if you guys are listening out there on the radio and you never heard of him before, check your local listings. And if you can't find it on your local listings, call
the
station. Yeah. Check America's Most Wanted.
The Federal Barbecue Inquirers.
There we go.
Yeah.
There we go. Well, it is a barbecue weekend.
Yeah, it is.
And I just wanted to get this in and get a special one with you because I wanted to get some of your tips on, you know, it's also kind of for some people that aren't big barbecue people out there.
Right.
That use the what I call the summer grillers, at least.
Right. Yeah,
and
they give a good effort.
Yeah, but they're not like you. They're not like me, who it could be snowing and 10 degrees outside, and I'm stoking the fire. I'm getting ready to throw a T-bone on.
Right,
but
right.
Now, they're probably opening that grill up, and it's probably moldy from last year.
Got critters,
all that stuff. You know, and of course, people want to clean it.
You got a raccoon that reaches up and closes the lid again. Say, I'm sleeping here. I'm sleeping.
Yep.
It's one of those days, man.
It is. It's all good. No, but you're scared to open that thing up.
Yeah.
You know, or it's fuzzy.
Yeah.
You know, that can happen too, where you get all the oils and fats that have been sitting there all winter and they're all green and fuzzy on the inside.
Yeah. You think, man, I did actually pass chemistry in college, and what the hell is this?
Yeah,
so.
Absolutely. So what's your take on the best way to tackle that for the rookie out there?
Turn it on, fire it up, let it burn for about 30 minutes, and then make sure you don't have any other inanimate objects in there. Like I said, a dead
raccoon.
Animal or a piece of steak that you left on it for all
squirrel.
Winter. A squirrel, you know, where you hid your wife's other Christmas present and then you couldn't remember. Make sure there's nothing there.
Yeah.
And then fire it up, make sure it's working. And if you got, you know, two burners, three, whatever, make sure they're all working equally.
Yep.
Turn it on, not full blast. Okay, but like medium high heat. So if you've got a dial, they should say on there medium high like that. Put it on a medium high heat and let it burn for 20 to 30 minutes. It'll also tell you if you've got any leaks in your gas line, like one burner is not working or anything like that. But burn it off. Then take, you know, depending on what you have, they have the different types of scrubbing devices, wire brushes. People are kind of iffy about wire brushes. If you really clean it and make sure, you shouldn't have a problem with it. It's when you leave gunk and a little piece of wire gets stuck on it.
Yeah.
That's not good. Yeah. But clean it off both sides.
Yes.
Most people forget that. Both sides, not just the top.
Well, you mean all the black hanging stuff that goes down below that just never burns off if you don't get it hot enough?
The stalagmites or whatever they are.
Exactly.
You know, the little grease things. And clean all those off. And then you can wipe it down with a nice coat of oil. Most of the time, though, if you've got stainless steel grates, that's really not necessary because they don't rust.
Yeah.
But if you've got old just regular iron grates or something like that, yeah, you should probably wipe it down a little bit. And then heat that back up and let it warm up, kind of, you know, open up the pores a little bit, so to speak, and get the oil in there. Then you should be ready to go. And clean out the bottom.
Oh, yeah. That can be the worst spot, is just the neglect from last year.
Yeah. And, you know, all the grills now come with little grease buckets, grease traps. Make sure you clean that out, because you catch that little rascal on fire, you probably won't have to call the fire department, but you're also not going to put it out very quick.
As Eddie Murphy used to say, now that's a fire.
That's fire right there. And it doesn't smell good either.
No. So. Especially just burning rancid nastiness is not good. Yeah. Not good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's bad news. And so what's one of the biggest things? What are some of the popular items that you see people grilling on Memorial Day weekend? I mean, there's always your burgers and dogs.
But right.
What are you seeing out
burgers
there?
Burgers and dogs. You can do those. Here's a little tip that I was talking to my buddy Meathead Goldwyn from Amazing Ribs the other day, and he does something that's a little different with his dogs. He does not put the dogs crossways on the grill. He puts them between the slats.
That's how I do it, too.
Yeah, and you can just kind of turn them.
You can kind of quarter turn them and get them that way.
Yeah, and you get the skin nice and brown. Because one of the things we were talking about on our show is, especially people that don't grill a lot, and you go to these things and you get a pile of hot dogs or brats or sausages, and you've always got some that are black, you know. And it's because your heat levels aren't stable, and also because you're not paying attention.
Yeah.
That's it. Okay.
Too many people talking to you. I mean, we don't have that as much this year, but in other times you got 10 people grabbing your attention while you're trying to cook on the grill.
And then later on in the cook, there's always a pile of those kind of nasty, crinkled up, burned ones off to the side or on the upper rack if you're using a gas grill, which nobody wants. And the dog goes by and goes, no, thanks. I'm good.
Yep. None of those Flintstone dogs.
Yeah, nothing like that. Barney, Fred, maybe. But the dog, no. You know,
not so much.
Self-respecting dog. But, you know, put them in between the grills like that, and you can just take your tongs and turn them, and that way you'll get a nice brown little crisp. I like them to pop when you bite them, but not like you're chewing into a stick.
Yeah, you don't need to have a leather wrapper on the outside of those things.
Yeah, that's for something else. So, you know, you can do those. So that's just a little tip to do that. The other thing is you very well could put that, if you're going to have a gas grill and you've got three burners, turn two of them on and keep one turned off, and that way you'll have a cooler side. So you've kind of got direct heat and indirect heat like that. And it's like, you know, I know you're a big charcoal guy. You put charcoal on one side of the bottom, and then the other side you don't. So you've got a cool side.
Yeah. I've got a Weber out there that I actually have those little kind of
dividers
actually. They're the little bins that you can put them in, and so it's great for that, because you can put that on like the far left third of that round and put that in there, so you got a really cool direct heat. But for barbecuing, it's great because I can throw stuff on the other side, and if I've got the lid off, it's keeping it warm, but it's not really cooking it that much.
It's not, you know, it's not continuing that caramelization or that what's the term I'm looking for? Maillard, which is when meat turns brown.
Yeah,
that's the chemical description of that. So you know, kind of try to keep a cool side if you can, especially if you haven't done anything all winter. And like we said, if you're kind of just the guy that grills 10 times a year, like, that's fine. That's no harm, no foul. But kind of give yourself a safety zone over on the side like that.
Yeah.
Now, the other things you ask about, like, what's popular in that. You know, steaks, they're always popular. Don't worry about the grill marks. You know, I mean, a lot of guys, especially in the steak competitions and stuff, boy, they're really into the grill marks.
It's like people bragging on how big the smoke ring is.
Yeah. It means nothing.
Yeah, as long as it tastes good, that's what counts, right?
Yeah. You're not Picasso out there, you know, on a Weber.
It's like people making lattes with them. All right, so yeah, I mean, it's not like you're Picasso out there trying to do this stuff like you said. I mean, it's just one of those things that those grill marks, I don't care, to be honest, but so many people do.
If we're doing a food shoot for one of the magazines or websites or a TV, yeah, I get it. You know, we've got to make the pretty picture.
Yeah.
But most of the clowns that we would invite over to our house to eat, they don't care. They're going to eat it with their hands anyway.
Exactly. So, they've already had too many cocktails. So they're not even really going to taste it, let alone notice what it looks just like.
Consumption, raw form, you know, feeling like that. But, you know, same, talk about cooking steaks real quick. I always recommend like a medium high heat. And if you're not really into grilling again on a regular basis, you know, you hear all this stuff about, well, you can do a reverse sear or you can do that. Don't worry about it. Just cook it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Keep it hot and cook it.
Keep it hot and cook it. Just make sure that internal temperature, again, we harp on this all the time. I think we've said this every time I've been on your show. Make sure you've got a good digital thermometer. If you want a medium rare steak, get it up to 130. You're good to go.
Yeah.
Okay. If you want a little more, you can get it to 140. Anything over like 155, you go chew on a shoe.
Yeah. So what I do is, with my grill usually though, I never pull it like at 130. I always pull it like 120, 125, right, depending on how I'm doing, because it still gets hot when I pull it off.
Yeah. Yeah. It will still get hot. But I mean, some people don't like to rest their steaks.
I always do.
You know, I personally, because I'm a hog, I put it on the plates. I let those juices, by the way, that is not blood. That's myoglobin.
Yep.
It's basically water. And I let the juices kind of come out, because I will put those juices like on my baked potato or something.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's just great.
Yeah.
It's just great.
Everybody grab those steaks. Oh yeah. I mean, that's got all the love in it right there.
I got to tell you a quick story. I was working in Arizona. This is 20 years ago. And I went to some friend's house for a barbecue, and we had these great, beautiful steaks and all this stuff. And there was just more and more and more of the juice, you know,
nice,
on the plate. And these were pretty close friends, and I did it intentionally, but I reached over and everybody had their own steak, and there's just one little piece left on the plate. I reached over and I grabbed it, and I tipped it up, and I drank it. I thought the woman was going to die. I thought she was just going to go into apoplexy right there.
That's amazing.
Yeah, they got divorced. Anyway.
Good job, man.
Yeah.
Can't let your friends come over.
Just get your, you know, digital thermometer.
Yep.
There's no secrets to seasoning a steak.
Man, salt and pepper is just a good deal.
And if you like a little garlic salt, because all that is salt with garlic in it, just put it on there and grill it, and you're good to go. And, you know, if you want to be fancy, fine. Make yourself some garlic butter or some blue cheese crumbles or something. Put it on there. Class it up a little bit with like that, and you are solid.
Oh, yeah.
You're just solid.
I mean, my lazy man routine is what I do with my burgers. I just throw a little dab of Montreal steak seasoning that I just shake on there out of the Costco size thing, and that's my burger trick.
But
you know, I mean, that's
I use Worcestershire sauce.
Yeah,
I do that. I mean, I'll grill one side and season both sides. Grill one side, flip it over, and then I put a little Worcestershire on it, which again makes the juices in the plate even better to drink.
Oh yeah,
and put them on your potatoes or whatever. But you know, I just use a couple of scientific method blubs. Bloop, bloop, of the Worcestershire straight out of the bottle. Liam Perrin, don't use any of the other
nothing
stuff.
Nothing crazy.
Yeah, just a little Liam Perrin. And it's really good.
Yeah.
It's really good.
That's solid. And those are great tips, because, you know, I know for the beginning person out there that's just, okay, I got my new barbecue grill and I'm new to grilling and all that stuff out there. You know, that steak can seem almost overwhelming in the first time going,
well,
oh,
they're not cheap.
Not right now they're not.
No. They're not cheap, so I can understand that. good tip, and I know you do this with all your stuff, read the owner's manual. I mean, truly, I did my Foodie Thursday thing on that the other day. Read the owner's manual. It won't hurt you. They're not very long. You don't have to read everything because most of you buy them pre-assembled.
Yeah.
But read the manual, especially if it's gas. Teach you how to hook the gas up. Teach you how to test the line.
Yep.
Like that. If you haven't used your grill all winter, test the line.
Yep.
Do that.
It'll also tell you how to clean it. I can't tell you how many times on home improvement questions I go, how do I clean my grill? It's like, well, what's your owner's manual say?
Yeah.
Huh?
There are people that come around now. There's actually franchises around that will barbecue cleaners that will come around and clean it.
That's cool if you don't want to do it yourself.
If you don't want to do it yourself, you don't want to get some grease on you or anything like that, you know, they'll clean it. They'll make sure everything's doing it. This time of year, I'm sure even with all the social distancing and stuff, it's probably you're out a little ways to get an appointment to do that.
Sure. But still, it's if you've got a big grill, it might not be a bad way to go, especially if they're going to come in and tune it up. And
yeah, or if you got seven of them on the back deck.
Like you,
know,
you do.
You know, if it comes clean up, you know.
Yeah, you have grills like I have tools.
Yeah. Well, you know.
It's just what we do.
More coming, and my wife didn't hear that.
No.
So,
no. She's not tuning into this one. We're not going to let her know about this episode.
She's blissfully ignorant.
Yeah. No, it's Julie sees the UPS show up, and I'm due tomorrow because I'll let you guys know that we're going to have a contest coming up with some power tools soon. Those are showing up.
Can I get in on that?
Well, maybe. Okay. Maybe. I mean, you can enter to win like anybody else can.
Yeah, I know. Those hand-selected winners.
Exactly. Yeah. No, but yeah, we're going to have that, but she's going to laugh because when the UPS guy shows up here today and tomorrow, we've got a number of boxes showing up. So it's she's going to be shaking her head again at me as well. So
I got a new set of Gunter Wilhelm knives coming for the shows. Summer shows. And then a putting green.
Oh, there we go. We've talked about this.
Yeah. Not a little one that you put in your house. This is the backyard, full-blown, 18x8.
Excavator out there getting the ground ready stuff. Yeah,
that's coming tomorrow.
Nice.
So
nice. So, okay, so let's talk grills for a minute, because this is a big one.
Okay.
You know? You've got your standard, you know, Weber charcoal or any kind of charcoal. You've got your propane out there. You've got your natural gas. You've got your pellet.
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite? I know that's not like, you know, asking who your favorite kid is, but there some are good for some things and some are good for others. What are your thoughts on that?
I'm going to do that cricket sound effect.
Yeah, we can grab that. I think it was, which one was that?
Bottom left.
Oh, yeah, it's the bottom. There we go. There's the answer, JT.
Yeah, that's what you're looking for. You know, like you said, Eric, it's different things. The rap against pellet grills is they don't get hot enough to sear steaks. That's an old version.
Yeah.
Now they do.
Yeah.
Okay. Your Green Mountain grills, some of your Pit Bosses, some of the other ones will get hot enough to sear steaks. They're really excellent as far as doing racks of ribs.
Yeah.
And that because it's a stabilized temperature. There's a fan and an auger and stuff in there. Mm-hmm. So you don't have to worry about it. And here's a little tip for everybody too. I don't care what grill you buy. Don't trust the thermometer on the lid. It can be brand new, but I guarantee you if it says 475, it's not 475. It's close, but it's not 475. They've got plenty of things now, and I'll get back to your answer.
No, this is a good tip.
But they've got all kinds of little digital readout things that you can put a probe in your inside the cooker, and it will tell you what the actual temperature is, not only in the meat that you're cooking, but also the ambient temperature.
Yeah, I use those as ranges because, I mean, if I'm going to do a pizza in there, for instance, I've got an older Komodo style charcoal grill.
Right.
No brand name there because guess what? I had to pay for it. So.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean. Anyway, you're welcome, JT. So anyway, I've got that and it's awesome. But I noticed that if I go put the pizza stone on that, because I get that thing cranking hot where I get it as hot as I can. And it's older. It used to get up to that 850 or so. Now that thermometer says maybe 650.
Right.
But again, I know as soon as I put a pizza stone in there to throw a pizza on it, that's blocking so much of that radiant heat coming up that lid thermometer really is not accurate.
No.
Because you're blocking all that temperature.
It's not. And the thing is, most of those thermometers are not the best.
Yeah.
Mechanically and technically. Now, some are better than others, obviously. Sure. But they burn out really quick. You know, the little needle and the little sensors in there and all that. You know, they're designed to withstand a lot of heat, but they also suffer from a lot of heat. So
yeah, they take a lot of abuse.
So go with, you know, I always have a thermometer when I'm cooking. I always have one in my hand or in my pocket.
Yeah.
And I can do that. And like I said, the probes are better for
that. I've got a little double probe that's got the two leads that come off, so I can set it there, and it's got the little remote, so I can put it one in, you know, so I like that one. It works well when I've got like a turkey or something, because I can probe two different areas.
Yep.
You know, I can keep track of it, or if I've got a tri-tip on there, or I can,
you know, big prime rib or whatever.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. I can kind of keep an eye on that. But, you know, that's the one thing that's the downfall to that, though, with that, is that there's no way in this barbecue to keep food on the grill and feed more charcoal to it. So once you're kind of doing that with this grill, once I've kind of burned through on a long cook, I really got to take food off the grill or move the grate, put stuff back in. Or what I've done is I've stacked up stuff around the outside that I can kind of kick back over into it.
Yeah. They've come out with a couple of grills that, you know, like the Monolith, which is like the Cadillac of charcoal Kamado style grills. Now they've got a thing, a little drawer in the side that you can actually put charcoal in and put it back in the, you know, put
in
it
the burner area.
In the burner area. You don't get the dust and the ash when you're putting it in there.
Nice.
Like you've said, you know, you either have to move the meat over. Some folding grates, they have them, but still when you're, unless you're going to do briquette by briquette or chunk by chunk and put it down there with some really long tongs so you have some skin left on your arm or your sleeve.
Knuckles, sleeves, whatever. Yeah.
You know, like that. You can do that, but still when you, you know, just like anything, if you're using lump charcoal and you've got a really hot bed of coals, but it's starting to die down and you put some more lump charcoal on it, not dumping it, put it in there place by, it's still going to explode, not boom explode, but you'll hear the little pops and the snaps and that, and that's,
I've ruined some food doing that because I got that charcoal dust that started to come up and wanted to get into the food, which is not optimal.
The only thing that's worse is like putting a lighter fluid on it and it gets on your steaks. And people have done that. I did it once 25 years ago, 30 years ago.
Learning curve.
Learning curve there, but ruined some damn good ribeyes.
Yep.
So, you know, but like I said, the Monolith grill is probably the best. It's the most expensive.
Yeah.
You know, it's you're looking at a couple $1,000 plus for that thing, but it comes with all kinds of bells and whistles.
Yeah.
Bob Trudnack, back in Pennsylvania, he designed it, and
Those things are pretty. They're cool.
They're very cool because I know I showed you, I pointed you to the website, and you hung up the phone because you were just still cruising through the website.
Oh yeah,
looking at all the attributes of the grill.
Oh yeah, I was like, oh man, this is cool.
It's very good. So those, you know, there's something to be said, whether it's a Kamado style and it's charcoal, or whether it's just an old Weber, there's something to be said about the flavor of just cooking on that.
See, that's where I get hung up on it. And I used to be a gas grill guy because it was my rookie seasons of barbecuing.
Yeah.
And I started cooking on charcoal at my buddy's place, and I'm like, man, I like that flavor a lot more. And I went over to that, and I've never owned a pellet grill in my life.
Yep.
You know, it's just probably 7 or 8 years ago I went to charcoal, and I just haven't walked away from that yet.
If you're going to try to do big things on charcoal, which I know you have, but like if you're going to do the large standing rib roast, which, you know, prime ribs, if you will, turkeys, any big cuts like that.
Briskets, diving into that stuff.
You know, you really have to pay attention.
Yeah.
You can't just load it up, fire it up, get it really hot and then hope for the best after that, that's not going to work out well for you.
No, no. There's a lot more work involved with that, where if you had a pellet grill, you can set the temperature on it and kind of just let it go.
You let it go, and then like some of the, you know, Green Mountain and some of those, they have little buzzers that when your pellet, you know, in the holder.
Yeah, the bin there the or whatever. The bin, yeah.
Thank you. It gets to a certain level. It tells you to come out and fill it up.
That's awesome.
You open it up, pour it in there, close the lid, go back to doing what you were doing.
Yeah.
You know, and those are really good for that. I use my pellet grill probably more than I use anything now, just for the convenience. And they get to temperature pretty fast.
Yep.
I don't have to fuss around with gas tanks. I still like to grill on a gas grill once in a while. I love to do charcoal. I even have an old side firebox stick burner.
Nice.
That's good. But those things take time to get them up to temperature, to regulate the heat, to, you know, make sure all that. You've got to be willing to kind of, when you're cooking with one of those things, you've got to be willing to spend a better part of an afternoon or a day, depending upon what you're cooking, to be able to hang out in close proximity to the cooker.
Yeah.
You know,
see, I like my Weber kettle when I have to do, when I'm doing like burgers, dogs, brats kind of stuff.
Yeah.
For me, it's quick and easy.
Yeah.
You know, I've got the Weber kettle that's got the gas start for the charcoal.
Yeah.
And man, it's got the little, you know, the little start on that with the, you know, using the little tiny propane tank, and man, that thing, I can get it up going and 20 minutes I've got burgers on and I'm going.
Yeah. Now, I did see a new thing. I had the guys on the show, which that show will air next week. Called the Fire Disc Grill.
This sounds interesting. I want you to tell the story because it's an interesting one.
Okay, these Hunter and Griff, which is for Griffin, mm-hmm. Jaggard, they live in Houston. They had one of their father-in-laws was a farmer out in West Texas.
Okay.
Which, if you've ever been to West Texas and a farmer out there, you know you're tougher than hell.
Yeah.
Just to survive that nasty soil and stuff out there.
Lots of rocks.
Well, anyway, Hunter was out there one time and he saw them using an old plow,
disc
blade. Yeah. Okay. And they're just a big round thing with edges, you know, sharp edge. Well, they had, the guys out there, the farm workers had taken it and they had fashioned a cooker out of it.
Oh, yeah, okay. That's cool.
Yeah, and they weren't using gas. They were using, you know, stick wood or something and heating it up and doing that. So these guys put their heads together, and they got a couple of the discs, and then they welded a 4-inch lip on the top of it, and they put a little stand on it. It's very advanced from that point now. They're pressed, so there's no welds.
Yep.
You know, like that. It's, I think, about 30 inches across.
They have a couple, good size.
A couple sizes.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's portable, and it runs on those little green Coleman.
Cool. Little cans?
Little gas cans, you know, and they're good for hour and a half, something like that.
Great.
You know, at full blast.
That's tailgate and party land
Tailgate and party stuff. And this is, for lack of a better term, it's kind of like a big wok.
Yeah.
But yet you can get it up to, with that and the system they have on it, you can get it up to 600 degrees to cook a steak or whatever in there.
Nice.
They're really great for, well, they hold 5 gallons worth of liquid.
So chilies and
stews and
all that stuff.
You know, gumbos, jambalayas, all that stuff down there.
Crab feed with that thing. Yeah.
They did a bunch of blue crabs the other day on them. They were telling me about. Nice. So anyway, and this is fairly cheap. I think their most advanced model is $359, something like that.
There we go.
But the thing is,
that's not a monolith price.
Yeah. No.
Missing a zero, too.
Yeah. Yeah. A couple of digits on the left side of the decimal point there. You know, but you gotta think that you could take this to a park. Now, if you go to a park and it's Memorial Day, 4th of July, whatever, and they've got free barbecues that you can use, they're really just oversized hibachis, right? Yeah,
exactly.
And they're dirty, and you don't know who's done what to
on
them.
It.
Yep. On it, in it, or through it, okay? This is something you can take. You can... It's got a stand. The stand is collapsible.
Nice.
The big disc can hook on and just hang down on the side. So you set it up, put the thing on it, hook up the gas, you know, turn on the regulator for the gas to the burner, light the burner. It's also got a windshield.
Oh,
not
cool.
Like on your car, but it's a box that goes around the burner. In
get case that 15-20 mile an hour wind out there that blows everything out if you've got that. Cool.
So, I mean, for less than $400, you've got this tailgating thing that you can take to the mountains, the beach. I used to hunt and fish a lot. I don't have time anymore, but that thing would have been perfect.
Oh, man.
In those days.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And it's called Fire Disc.
Okay, that's cool. That's cool. So, yeah, that you answered my question. I mean, and again, I'm not out there dogging the gas, propane, natural gas
it's
guys,
good.
But it's, you know, there's also some really good high-end natural gas ones out there, too.
There are. There's a lot of them. Heston's probably one of the top lines.
Oh, those are so pretty. I don't know if I want to spend 10 grand on a barbecue, but.
Well, you can get your favorite colors or your college colors or whatever.
Match your Ferrari out front, you know.
Yeah, so if you want to do that.
They're cool. Don't get me wrong. I love them, but they are not for the timid.
No, and those things are really built for, and they have standalone models on carts, and then they have, you know, built-in models. If you're going to do an outdoor kitchen, which you know, one of your specialties, they'll work for that perfectly.
Oh, they are that. I mean, they're beautiful. They're wonderful. I've covered them for the last 3 or 4 years,
right?
Because of the, you know, at the Kitchen of Bass Show and stuff. But they are stunning. I mean, they're like it's like putting a Ferrari out on your back deck.
It's
gorgeous. It is going to be that centerpiece of your outdoor kitchen that's going to function too. I mean, from the LED lights to all the cool little neat gee whiz things.
Yeah. Well, and they've got refrigerators and built beer coolers and wine coolers that match.
Bottles and jams.
Like that. Another thing people can look at too is the Blackstone. Blackstones are very inexpensive. We would call a flat top or a grill.
Yeah, that's actually one of my next things I want to get because I want to get a good flat top because, you know, I spent a lot of years cooking in high school.
Right.
And there's nothing like a good flat top. You can do so much with them.
Well, you can do that. I mean, you can, you know, if you really want to get creative with the food presentation.
Yeah.
Or if you like grilled onions.
Oh, yeah.
You
know, that's my jam right there is grilled onions.
Yeah. And so you don't want to fuss around with a skillet or something, even though your gas thing has a burner on the side, use that to keep your sauce warm and that's about it. You know, or you want to, you want hamburgers and you've got the grill is full of something else and you want to do burgers and dogs for the kids. Here's a little flat top that you can do it. Very easy to maintain, very easy to clean. Read the instruction booklet.
No kidding.
But they work out really well. And there's a company now called Yukon Glory out of New York.
Yeah.
That they have that paper towel holder thing
I saw that on. Yeah, you were on AM Northwest doing that.
Yeah, and the drink holder. Yeah. You know, they're magnetic so you can move them around. I really like that feature.
Yeah. Goes on both sides of your lawnmower.
Yes, exactly. North or south.
Correct.
Anyway, they have a grill lid that they just made for the Blackstones. Now, they're not affiliated with Blackstones.
No, they just saw a need and
a need and they do that and it hooks on there and you can lift it up and down and all that stuff and it's not much money.
Keeps it clean?
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, you could go out literally if you didn't have big stuff, if you don't have a big backyard grill center or outdoor kitchen and you just want to go to the beach or the river or the mountains or whatever, there's a couple of units right there and the Blackstones, even their biggest unit, I think, is under $200.
Wow.
So you got that.
Super affordable.
Yeah.
Super affordable.
And you can do, actually, on the Blackstone, like I said, instead of dragging along a cast iron pan and that kind of stuff and all that, you can do a lot more on that flat top if you're not into doing this type of cooking all the time.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, if I had a flat top, I'd be out there cooking breakfast. I mean, that's golden for that stuff.
Oh yeah, slap down a few eggs and some bacon on that baby and
You
can even brown your toast on it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That's I'd be out there making Monte Cristo sandwiches in the morning.
Oh, yeah. Get that. I know what you do with the powdered sugar, so I don't want to talk about that. Anyway.
I have the right to remain silent, just not the ability.
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, that most of the thing, though, really for this type of holiday, most people will do ribs.
Mm-hmm.
They'll do steaks or chops or something like that, but mostly steaks and ribs and burgers.
Yeah.
That's the big – hot dogs don't really count because hot dogs
– you're just warming them up.
You're warming them up, and, you know, that may be your appetizer, a good brat for an appetizer, and then an hour later you sit down to your steak or whatever.
That's like one of my favorite ways to do that.
Yeah.
Just a little snack.
You know, got to do – you have to – I'll have to give you my recipe for that it's called a kind of like a hot – kraut relish.
Really?
But there's no kraut in it. There's cabbage in it. And you use cabbage and bacon and onions and sugar and vinegar.
Ooh.
And you can actually just kind of eat this.
Yeah, I was gonna
say. It's really good. But you put it on your dogs or brats, and it's
you're good
it's
to go.
Pretty good. But yeah. And you know, 4th of July, we're always about hamburgers and hot dogs.
Yeah.
But 4th of July is also the biggest holiday where they cook ribs in the whole year.
Wow. Okay. You know,
those stats are out there.
So. That's cool.
Well, yeah.
Brother, thanks for coming on the show.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
So everybody out there, you got to check out JT the Cowboy Cook here, Barbecue Nation host.
That's it.
So make sure you're listening to him. And if it's not on your station of choice out there that you're listening to the radio on, this is going to be podcast only right here because we've got a full show this weekend. But I had to get JT in.
I'm here. Yeah, we've got so many platforms that we make Greg Louganis look like a piker.
Well,
I didn't know what to say.
Exactly. Exactly. There's those crickets again. But yeah. And, you know, and as you say, turn it, don't burn it, right?
That's right. That's our motto, turn it, don't burn it. We've got lots of good interviews on there, good information. And if you want to go to – a lot of my recipes are on the Cowboy Cook website, thecowboycook.com.
Yep. And what's coming up this weekend?
We've got Meathead Goldwyn.
Whew.
They're
bringing the big guns out.
And Jess Prilish. And then next weekend, we've got Stephen Reichlin and the Fire Disc Boys.
Wow. You got a big one.
Yeah, I'm taking a day off.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
I'm going to order Chinese food.
We need to go to Chinese food again.
Yeah.
We have our little Chinese food place that we go meet up at.
It's a ball.
It's a good time. It's excellent Chinese food in a dive bar.
Yeah. And I love it. And you know why? Because they change their oil and their cooker.
Yep.
You don't, you know, when you get a spring roll or whatever, it doesn't taste like last week's fish.
No. It's lightly golden brown and not that caramel color.
Yeah. And it's fresh flavored, crispy and fresh veggies and little shrimpies and all kinds
of stuff. That's all that good stuff.
I'm hungry. Let's go.
I know. Let's do it. All right, everybody. Thanks for listening to Around the House. And make sure you catch JT and Barbecue Nation out there and show him some love again. Until next time, it's Around the House.
Hey, it's Eric G. from Around the House. Are you planning a decking or siding project this year? If you are, you've got to check out my friends at Millboard. Millboard is a completely different kind of composite decking and cladding that enhances outdoor spaces with enduring distinction. Hand-molded from the finest oak, it realistically mimics the natural grain and color of premium hardwood. If you're looking for something that doesn't look like plastic and instead real wood, check out Millboard.com. Make sure and check out that interview we did just a few weeks back. That's Millboard.com.